James. Oh, impossible angle! LeBron James can do no wrong. The Cavaliers complete the sweep. It's on to the Eastern Conference Finals for the fourth straight year.
Hey everybody, and happy Tuesday after the Cavs just swept the Toronto Raptors in four games. And I gotta admit, I don't like to admit this often, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong. You know, I didn't see this coming. I really am completely caught off guard because the Cavs beat the Raptors in four games, because I picked it in six. Obviously, I knew the Cavs were going to beat the Raptors. If you've listened to me all year, you've known that as infrequently as I've podcasted, that the Raptors are a terrible matchup for the Cavs. The matchups matter a great deal. Thaddeus Young was actually an excellent defender on Kevin Love, and I knew it would be a matter of time before he got untracked, and the Raptors didn't have the physical bodies to guard LeBron James, and it was going to be the same thing that happened. But that's okay. Most people in the national media seem to just take what happens over the course of 82 games, which is 100% fair, and apply that to a playoff series where none of that matters. The Cavs had second worst defense in the league, and I know it didn't get that much better after they traded away IT the lesser. But one thing people are forgetting about is this is exactly why they got George Hill. He can dribble the ball, he can create a little, and he can play defense even at his advanced for the NBA age. And he's still hungry because he's never been to the finals, he's never had an opportunity. The Cavs, like I said in New Orleans when I was with my friends, they will only get better as the playoffs go on. Do I think they have a chance to win the NBA finals? No. Do I think they will make the NBA finals? I haven't budged. I did get pretty worried against the Pacers. So maybe I'm a hypocrite. But yes, I have thought that since before the playoffs start, and I still think that. Regardless of whether they play the Sixers, which they won't because no team in NBA history has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, or the Boston Celtics, which, again, that's who they will play, I think the Cavs have what it takes to beat them. And it doesn't even matter about their defense because their starting lineup that they've kind of settled into now of Hill, J.R. Smith, Korver, LeBron, and Kevin Love can score with anybody, outscore anybody. It's probably as potent. I mean, based on this series, it's been the most potent offense in the playoffs, which is not coincidentally how they won 12-1 through the Eastern Conference playoffs last year. It's the same way. They can outscore anybody, and that includes the Rockets or the Warriors. The problem is, unlike those two teams, they can't stop you from scoring. And I don't think they can win a shootout with two teams like that that also can play better defense than them. But when it comes to the Celtics, no matter how good of defense they play, they're going to have a really hard time stopping the Cavs from scoring over 100 points a game, if not 115 points. And the Celtics are going to have a really hard time topping 95. So I still think no matter how good they play defense or how bad the Cavs play defense, they should still be able to win this next round. Either team they play, again, they're playing the Boston Celtics. I'm not going to pretend that they're not. I know the Cavs have to in their post game, but this is a comedy slash basketball fan podcast, and I don't have to pretend that they're playing the Celtics. And it'll be so awesome for them to send Al Horford home again. It's like no matter what team they're on, Al Horford gets sent home by the Cavs, which is awesome. It's extra fun because he gets way too much credit for being a solid defensive presence. It just seems like he's the one guy everybody, because his advanced stats are pretty good, he doesn't match the eye test. I've never been a big fan of his, and I know, well, he's got the advanced metrics to prove it out. Who cares that he only gets five rebounds a game as a center? I mean, you're just looking at it wrong. So what if he puts up 14-5? He anchors this great defense, but it's not like he's this huge interior presence. And yes, he's a very smart defender, but there's good defenders on the team. What were the defensive metrics when he was playing on the Hawks? They still had good defenders. Kyle Korver was the worst defender on that team, and he's a really smart defender. He's just slow. So the entire Boston organization, by courtesy of being the winningest organization in NBA history, gets terribly overrated, and it's going to bring me personal joy to see the Cavs beat them in the next round, defy expectations and logic based on the 82 games that we saw, the longer sample size that's not taking into account the fact that with the healthy George Hill and a lineup with four shooters around LeBron James, the Cavs are borderline unstoppable on offense. And if Kevin Love is playing good, he gives LeBron that guy that they can go to when he's on the bench. And it basically makes them a much more well-rounded team. They're not the same team from January. They're definitely not. I don't see Isaiah Thomas the Lesser anywhere near this team. They're not even the same team from the beginning of, or end of April, from 2 weeks ago. And as I said, again, in New Orleans, the Cavs were the only team in the playoffs who could be better in a month or two than they were then. And they've been better in this round than they were in the first round. And yes, most of it has to do with the fact that they match up much better against the Raptors. Much better. Because obviously they don't have the kind of bodies to throw at LeBron James, and they can't guard LeBron and Kevin Love at the same time, which made the Cavs go off for three games in a row. And while Ty Lue's bad bench substitutions basically did everything they could to give the Raptors a chance to get out of there, after they stole game one, the Cavs had the series and it's over. And I'm not even saying the Raptors are scared of them. They just don't have what it takes to compete, period. And no matter how many times Ty Lue trotted out Clarkson, Hood, Green, and Tristan Thompson with LeBron and said, LeBron, here's your chance. Try to score every single time because we know you're going to have no spacing playing with these guys. Or watch Jordan Clarkson dribble the ball between his legs five times and take a shot against two guys while he never once looks to pass. Or Rodney Hood disintegrates and lose $30 million in front of your eyes while every second he's on the court, he loses money this offseason, and then refuses to come into the game at the end of game four because he's pouting like a big baby. Rodney Hood sucks. He's been horrible. The worst player in the playoffs based on the numbers. And he's going to get mad that he got benched for Jetty Osman. If the Turkish Delight is taking your spot in the rotation, it's because at least he won't pout when he misses a shot and he will actually play hard. They gave up, admittedly, not that much for Rodney Hood. It was nobody the Cavs really needed. I think it ended up being Jay Crowder, who was a bum in Cleveland, and they switched second round picks or whatever. So it's a loss. Take it as a wash, whatever, if Rodney Hood can't play. But the Cavs basically made that move to actually have a bench, and now they don't. Luckily, George Hill worked out. The one trade I think most people were least excited about, that's been a great move. And Jordan Clarkson, I've lost hope for him, but he's not going to lose confidence in himself. And I guess I saw on Twitter that Larry Nance is actually still pretty badly hurt, but he looked good in garbage time last night. And he could still be a piece for the future. This is a long way of saying things are working out as good as they possibly could. Isaiah Thomas the Lesser isn't on the team. The Cavs just swept the Raptors for the second year in a row. Serge Ibaka is a corpse. I saw a guy on Facebook that said the Cavs were going to get rocked. I wish I could remember his name so I could call him out publicly. The Cavs were going to get rocked because Serge Ibaka, or LeBron was the best player, but then Lowry, DeRozan, and Ibaka were all better than anybody on the Cavs. I would say, based on how this series went, obviously Love was better than all the Raptors guys, but Kyle Korver kind of had a better series than those guys too. And Serge Ibaka was horrible. Jonas Valanciunas, I still don't know how to pronounce his name, and it's not helping because whoever does play-by-play, when they switch from ESPN to TNT, pronounces it completely differently as well. He was their best player this series. Their only guy who was consistent game in and game out on offense, and Dwayne Casey's genius move was to bench him. And yeah, he couldn't really guard Love, but he did a better job than Ibaka because Ibaka was pretty terrible in this series. But I guess I want to wrap this up by saying I understand what it was like for the Raptors fans because I grew up and I was a little too young to understand the actual impact it had. But from my family, my dad and people telling me, I always, and to this day, I hate Michael Jordan and the Bulls. And I'm not one of those people that's going to overrate them because I was a kid when Michael Jordan was playing and I'm 3 years old and I'm like, oh, wow, I remember I was eight when Jordan was in the 98 finals. And now I'm going to completely overrate everybody he played against in the 90s in a pathetic attempt to make sure that he's still considered the greatest player of all time. And ignoring the fact that the metrics all show those teams he played in the 90s weren't even as good as any of the teams. Well, actually, two of the teams I think were better than most of the team LeBron's ever played against in the finals. Like the Warriors alone are, the point differential is insane compared to anybody Jordan played against. But sure, he was the best player of all time, but he was great. And he's one of the best players of all time. And he stuck it to the Cavs in the playoffs time and time again. And I'm sure in 1992, again, I was too little to have a memory or really know anything besides going to a game or two at the Coliseum as a kid. But the Cavs won 57 games that year. Mark Price was all NBA first team. Brad Doherty, Larry Nance, all-stars. They got the second seed, made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm sure they're like, this is the year Jordan is not going to get us. And what did he do? He stuck it to him just like he always did. Sent him home. Just like he always did.
Jordan from 19. Uh-oh. Well, Chicago will run at Mark Price to try to force him to give it up.
4-0 Chicago. 2 minutes gone in the first quarter. Jordan with the drive on Sanders. Nance got there too late to help out.
Michael just makes the move to the baseline. Sanders tries. Nance comes over, as he always will do. But Michael makes that one anyway.
It's been a wonderful playoff run to get started here in 1993. Cleveland on a 19-6 run. They needed 21-16. Jordan puts a stop to that, as he has done.
And the reason I feel extra bad for the Raptors is because they don't even have anybody that's as good as Brad Doherty, let alone Mark Price. Kyle Lowry, and I like DeMar DeRozan, I think is one of the most overrated players in the NBA. But neither of those guys are going to be first team all NBA at any point in their career. Kyle Lowry is never going to be the best point guard in the NBA. The Cavs had the best point guard in the NBA in Mark Price, who, because Cavs fans love him so much because he was a little white guy, is actually completely underrated in the annals of history of how good he really was when he was healthy. He was first team all NBA, one of the five best players in the league. And that still wasn't enough to get over Michael Jordan and the Bulls. So now you have LeBron James, the best player in the league. And yeah, you don't even have anybody as good as Mark Price. You arguably don't even have anybody as good as Brad Doherty, but it's basically like take Mark Price off the team and give those Cavs teams with Brad Doherty and Larry Nance, the two like B plus type players as your best guys, you have zero chance of winning that series no matter what you do, unless you have some sort of matchup that's really going to stop him, and they don't. So they really shouldn't be upset. Great regular season, but I understand how upset Raptors fans are, and I understand how much it hurts. And if there's any justice, 10 years from now, the best player in the league will be born in the Toronto area, and you guys will get the first pick in the lottery, and just through the basketball gods will be gifted with the best player of a generation. Until then, I just say enjoy it while you can, because watching the Cavs when Kyrie Irving and Dion Waiters fighting in the locker room was the most interesting thing that happened it wasn't that fun. So Raptors fans, I'm sorry, but this happened to us for 10 years and or 8 years, however long it was. So I'm not going to feel too bad for you. I'll be back later this week with the guest, probably, because there's not much else to talk about. If you missed out, I was on the Waiting for Next Year podcast with Dave Sterling. Check that one out. It was pretty fun. Dave is hilarious and always fun to do podcasts with, as you heard him on this one last weekend. And I'll talk to you then. It's pretty fun. We get to have at least almost a week off with no basketball, and got to feel a lot better about the Cavs now than I personally did a week ago. I don't know about you. It's a lot of fun having the best player in the NBA on your favorite team. And this kind of makes up, even if they only get one championship out of it the whole time, it's kind of made up for those Michael Jordan Bulls sticking it to the Cavs year after year. Go Cavs. I'll talk to you later this week. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. Oh, this game looks so cool. LeBron James, Dinosaur Hunter. Oh, sweet. I got to put this in. I don't remember this for Nintendo 64, but they don't make new. Well, I'm going to try it out. This is Nintendo 64. Oh, sweet. It's a shooting game. Oh, hell yeah, I'm LeBron. But I got a gun. Oh, what's this? Oh. Jonas found Swainus. He died fast. Mari Carroll. Oh, got him. Oh, here we go. Kyle Lowry. Oh, man, he died real fast. What a chump. Sorry, Terrence Ross. You suck. DeMar DeRozan. That's it.
The Cleveland Cavaliers win the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, the game's over. That was fast. This game's only like 2 minutes long. It's that easy? You kill the Raptors that fast? Lame. I guess it's realistic, though.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.